Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. This will be a very fun hour in studio with a former KMOX intern. How many years has it been since you've been on KMOX?
It would be 1992.
So
27 years.
It has been a long time.
That's a very long time.
There's probably some familiar names that you would recognize that were around in 1992 that are still here. Jay Mueller, thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. It's a real thrill. I was saying to you off air, you know, KMOX was the sound of my childhood. It was the sound of my teenage years, mm-hmm. and then it was certainly the sound of the start of my professional career in journalism and radio and broadcasting, and to be actually on KMOX.
Lindenwood. You went to Lindenwood?
I did the radio production course at Lindenwood University in St. Charles, thanks to Scott Warman, who worked at KMOX and looked after the interns when I was there.
If I remember, so 92 was right around the time Mr. Hyland passed. Were you here with Mr. Hyland?
He had just passed, I believe.
I see. Yeah.
I was there during the summer of 1992, mm-hmm. and I never met him, obviously, but I think he had just passed before when I got there.
How hard was it to get an internship here at KMOX?
I was trying to think of that before I came in, and I don't really remember how I got it. I remember sending a whole bunch of letters, and I sent one to KMOX to get an internship. I was a student at Indiana University.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to get an internship during the summer. And I got an interview at KMOX and then at KSDK, mm-hmm. Channel 5. And I was accepted at KMOX, but I hadn't said yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then I went into KSDK Channel 5, and it was this big meeting room, and it was filled with other students, and they were going to give us a test and all these things. And I thought, it's a nice day. I don't want to be in here all day. And I said, you know what? I've got an internship at KMOX. And, of course, they did the TV versus radio thing where they're very disparaging about my choice. Are you sure you want to leave this interview? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go. KMOX is great, and I'm happy to be there.
How can anyone say that about KMOX? Seriously, like, look at the legacy of a radio station like this. How could you throw shade at them?
That's right.
How could that happen? So you interned for the summer.
I was there for the summer, yeah.
Then you went back to school
after? I went back to Indiana University, did another year of study there. Wrote for the Indiana Daily Student, worked at WFIU, which was the public radio station in Bloomington, Indiana. My college roommate, actually, is from southern Indiana, and he was a massive St. Louis Cardinals fan. And the reason he was a Cardinals fan is because he could pick up KMOX at night in southern Indiana.
Isn't that something?
You know,
and still, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all over the Midwest. And, you know, if it's a clear night, who knows how far we can go.
Then you left the country.
And then I left, yeah.
So what happened?
I got my first job in Terre Haute, Indiana, working for WTWO, the ABC, or the NBC affiliate there, and then moved to Phoenix, Arizona, worked for the Fox Network for 7 years, met an Australian woman, and moved to her hometown of Melbourne, Australia.
How about that?
And got married in Melbourne and didn't know anybody, didn't know anything, left the Fox Network, and I was painting fences and houses, of which I was totally unqualified to do any of those things, and trying to find a job in the media, and could not get back into TV at all. And then finally, I met with a guy in the morning at a TV network, and he said, I don't have anything for you. He said, but call 3AW. They're a talk radio station. They just always need producers, journalists. They just need people. And that afternoon, I thought, I don't know if I want to go back to radio. How do I want to do it? And that afternoon, I met with another guy, and he said, you know what? I don't have anything for you, but go meet with Clark Forbes at 3AW. They always need people. And I thought, okay, I've got two people on the very same day telling me to go to 3AW. I should go check it out. And so I went into 3AW and I became the oldest work experience kid I think they've ever had. I was 31 years old and just went in to just hang out and meet people,
yeah.
you know, and I worked answering phones for a man named Neil Mitchell, mm-hmm. who is still doing mornings on 3AW and still does a great job, interviews all the prime ministers and all the opposition leaders and anybody who ever comes to Melbourne, they're on Neil's show.
Mm-hmm.
And then worked with a couple of guys on Breakfast Radio named Ross Stevenson and John Burns, who they rate 20s in Melbourne, which is...
Rate 20s?
So their rating
rating
20.
Wow. How much competition is there?
A lot.
And they still have 20?
Dominate. Yeah,
20 rating or share?
That is their share.
That's huge.
It's massive.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
And Ross Stevenson's a genius broadcaster. He thinks like no one else I've ever met, but you know, that name won't mean anything to anybody here, but... getting into 3AW just sort of changed my life, put me back on the radio path, and then spent 8 years working for a rock and roll station mm-hmm. called Triple M in Melbourne. Left there a couple of years ago, did some sports and, you know, been doing some podcasts, and now just back at Triple M now.
They like their triples, don't they?
They
do. Australia.
Triple M, Triple J.
So you're out there and you're doing radio, and you're probably intimidating when you join one of these programs. There's probably a lot of people that have almost no experience in broadcasting, and you're there and you're doing things and you have a lot of experience in broadcasting.
Well, a little bit, I suppose, but I also didn't know anything about Australia. So, you know, I was sort of...
You had to learn.
I had to learn everything. I had to learn, you know, and I had to adjust the way I spoke because my accent became a distraction for people. And now I get people who... Do you think I sound even vaguely Australian?
No.
Okay.
I don't get that.
Occasionally I get that. Like occasionally I will come back and people will say, where are you from? And I grew up in St. Charles and my mom and dad still live in the house that I grew up in. And they've lived there now for more than 50 years. And I was at a Starbucks in St. Charles and the woman said, where are you from? And I said, I'm from here. I said, I grew up 5 minutes from here. She said, no, you're from someplace else. I said, well, I live in Melbourne, Australia. And she said, oh, that's why you sound English. And
what?
I thought, right, okay, so.
You have some linguist just hanging out at the Starbucks in St. Charles.
That's
now.
Right.
Pick up on these things.
That's it.
I find that in the United States, it's weird because I talk to Drex, our friend up in Vancouver, once a week, and we'll talk about some of the differences between outfits in Canada and how they handle broadcasting versus here in the United States. And there's some really big differences between the two. I feel like here in the United States, I mean, we are just like scraping things together and doing the most we can for what's afforded to us. Then I hear and I get jealous about how they do things in Canada. Like he's up there in the Chorus Radio Network and they have like all of these budgets to do things. And one of the biggest differences I found that was the craziest thing is they have copywriters still.
Wow.
Where in Canada, to write the commercials, they actually have people that are talented writers that will put together a commercial spot for a client. They'll write it and produce it and do all these things in-house. Here, the salesperson writes the scripts.
Yep.
How do you do it in Australia?
We have copywriters as well for ads. And
we're struggling here in the United States.
The United States, U.S. radio has been stripped right back.
Yeah.
You know, the staffs have been stripped back. The resources have been stripped back. The hours that you are brought that you broadcast have not been stripped back.
Mm.
And the expectation of excellence has not been stripped back.
Mm.
But the resources that you're given have been stripped back. And I think it's a testament to the greatness of American radio that it persists
mm-hmm.
and continues at the high standard that it is at. But what could it do if it still had the resources that a Canadian network has or even an Australian network has?
It's true. We're going to continue our conversation all hour long with Jay Mueller. And make sure I'm saying Mueller because we have a Robert Mueller investigation.
That's right. I
had to stop myself from saying Mueller about 8 different ways.
Yes.
Jay Mueller.
Mueller is how we pronounce it. Although my dad always pronounced it Miller, which
Miller?
Was very confusing for me. Your Honor.
Intern, 1992 here at KMOX, but has since grown as a very talented broadcaster in Australia. I want to talk to you more about maybe some of the differences between broadcasting and the countries. There could be one of those freak atmospheric things where you can catch KMOX once in a blue moon in Australia. You never know. It's those weird things happen. So we're going to continue on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Jay Mueller joining us in studio, former KMOX intern, but now How would you qualify yourself in Australia? Would you find that you're a high-end quality broadcasting mind? Like, what's the, where would you rank yourself there?
Oh, my goodness.
Because I talk to Drex once a week, and again, I'm messaging Drex right now. Yeah. And he says, he's like, if I could work with one person, it would be Jay. It's you. He is absolutely in love. He says, he's a big deal.
Well, that is very sweet and very kind, and it may only be because I'm 6'6", or as they say in Australia, 198 centimeters.
Oh, that's right. You had to learn the conversion and all
that. I now think I'm multilingual in distances and temperatures and all of those things. Well, Johnny Rabbit, who you had on in the previous hour, described me as a rascal.
Yeah.
Which, sure, I'll take that. If Johnny Rabbit's going to call me an Australian rascal, I'm very happy with that description. I'm just a guy who's, you know, trying to make great radio, I think, or good radio at least, or at least something that somebody wants to listen to.
Well, does great radio in Australia also make for great radio in the United States? Or what are the things that people consume in between the different countries differently?
Well, I think that radio is always going to have a place in that it can do the live thing. Mm-hmm. The best. So you had the meteor last night, right?
Yeah.
And you were able to talk about it instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can't really do that with a podcast. You can talk about what a meteor is, and you can talk about, you know, why it happened and all of those things that go into it. And you can go deep. And that's one of the things that I love about podcasts. I absolutely love that, the fact that you can go as deep as you want to go on any subject that you want to talk about. But if you want to talk about something that happened right now, right this instant, you can't beat radio for that experience. And the question I meant to ask you before we started was, did you ever find out what a meteor smells like?
No. No, I'm a little disappointed that meteorologists don't know what a meteor smells like. Now, I did see a story this morning. They said if they could find it, if it hit the ground and it weighs a certain amount, someone's already willing to put up $25,000 to purchase that thing.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Big money. You know, I've seen different YouTube videos of people that go and they have like their metal detectors and they try to find like little fragments, like little dust. I mean, it's a popular thing. People sometimes hunt for those morel mushrooms. And other people try to hunt for things that came from outer space.
Yeah, there's two types of people in the world. There's people who will use a metal detector for hours on end, and then there's people who won't.
Or go Bigfoot hunting. There's a lot of Bigfoot hunting here. Are you a Bigfoot guy?
No, well, you know, I don't know. I really don't know in this day and age that we find ourselves in. Is there a Bigfoot out there? Maybe.
Does the legend transfer? I mean, are there Bigfoot hunters in Australia?
Sure. People are fascinated by Bigfoot, Sasquatch, all of those things.
UFOs, paranormal talk, is that popular overnights in Australia? Because we got coast to coast.
Not to the level that it is here.
Oh, I know. Coast to coast is still that monster syndicated program.
Yeah.
It's on our sister station, but you know they talk the ghosts and the UFOs and things like that. George Norrie's doing it, a St. Louis guy. He probably would have been out of St. Louis by the time 92 came around, but he worked in the St. Louis market as a television station. And apparently he owned some restaurants in town too for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Art Bell, of course, did it for all those years. But Paranormal Talk is so popular.
Art Bell's show was massive.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about anything. And I remember, I think Art talked about on his show, the Phoenix Lights, which happened when I was living in Phoenix.
Ooh.
And
you were on his show?
You can Google. No, I was not. But I remember Art discussing it because there's great speculation on what the Phoenix Lights were. You can look that up on whatever search engine you choose to frequent. But the Phoenix Lights in the late 90s was a thing.
Yeah. I also wonder, who are some of your favorite broadcasters here in the United States that you started to miss when you moved away?
Do you know that when I was a kid growing up, I loved Jack Buck?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely somebody that I love. My dad was not a Jack Buck fan. He felt that Jack predicted the play too early. He would say, "Oh, that's going to be a double play." And my dad was like, "How does he know?" But I always liked Jack. Paul Harvey, growing up, I love listening to Paul Harvey. But for me, as a teenager and as a young man in St. Charles, Missouri, Radio Rich on KC95, Dalton was the guy. And I loved listening to him. He hung out with the bands. He talked about music. I just thought, how cool is that?
Yeah.
My mom.
Is that right? Hold on. Our producer Mike just said his daughter works here.
Rich Dalton's daughter works here.
Is that right? Who's Rich Dalton's daughter? Oh, tell me off here. Okay.
Radio Rich's daughter.
Yeah, that's cool.
So Radio Rich, I loved listening to him. I just thought he was fantastic. I also loved on KC, not to talk about another radio station on the great KMOX, but I loved J.C. Corcoran And yeah. I remember listening to JC. And so my mom still gives me updates on JC every now and then.
Oh, did you hear the most recent one?
Yeah, she told me. It was one of the first things she told me when I when I met her. She's like, oh, do you know what has happened to JC? And I'm like, oh, Mom.
I didn't think he still had fans left. I'm surprised.
Well, listen, I am remembering him from, you know, the late 1980s.
Okay.
I know he has had a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some few things that are happening in his life. But
you're being very diplomatic right now.
Well, you know what? I was a teenager. I was a nobody. I was a nothing. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Westport Playhouse to see, I think it was Stephen Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw JC standing there. And I thought, I'm going to go up and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I was with was like, you can't go up and talk to him. I'm like, yes, I can. I'm going to go. So I went up and I said, hi, JC. My name's Jay. I'm a big fan of Keishi and, mm-hmm. and I really like your show. And he started to talk to me and asked me where I went to school and everything. And then he said, hey, look over there. Do you know who that is? And I said, oh. He says, yeah, come on, let's go say hello. So we walk across the Westport Playhouse sort of lobby,
mm-hmm.
and JC sticks his hand out and says, Mr. Ratzenberger, mm-hmm. I'm JC Corcoran from KC95. This is Jay. And the next thing you know, we're talking to Cliff from Cheers.
That's so cool.
John Ratzenberger. And it's like, you know, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
He didn't need to take me with him.
That is cool.
He didn't have to give me any time, but he did.
Wow. How often do you find yourself craving some sort of food from St. Louis? Does it ever happen?
Emo's Pizza.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. I love Emo's Pizza. My wife that took me to Melbourne is not my wife now. My current wife, though, is not a fan. Astrid does not enjoy the Emo's Pizza.
Wow.
She prefers Australian pizza, which I know is...
What's the difference?
Australian pizza is, you know, a little bit thicker, you know, not as cheesy.
Hmm.
Emo's Pizza is unique,
yeah.
and I love it. She does love toasted ravioli, thinks mm-hmm. that's a very good thing. I went to Duck Donuts for the first time.
Yeah.
Love them.
There's some awesome food options out here.
Oh, man. St. Louis is great for food.
Yeah. And your family's still here? You said your parents still in the same house?
Mom and Dad still in the same house that we grew up in. Three boys growing up there. It's amazing that all of us can walk because, you know, we grew up watching Wrestling at the Chase. And we tried all of those moves on each other.
Of course, front yard.
Oh, man. You know, hammer drops off the bunk beds.
I know. All those things.
Yeah.
That's what happens when there's brothers involved. Yeah. There's no way around it. Did you ever make it to any Blues or Cardinals games growing up?
Yes, absolutely. We went to the old Busch Stadium, and the last time that I've been to a Cardinals game was in, I think, 2011.
Oh, so you make it back
so
here.
So I get back once a year, to get back once a year, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Your parents must really appreciate that.
Well, it's a lot easier for me to come here than it is for them to go there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long trip. So
it's nice that you do that, though.
Well, you know, you got to come home.
What time is it right now in Australia?
It is about 12:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty good at
midday.
That with the numbers.
I think that's right. I hope I've got that right. But it's also Wednesday.
Oh,
afternoon.
Yes. So let's see. Right now, let me look at the temperature, and you have to convert it to Celsius.
Oh my goodness.
So right now in St. Louis, it's 12 degrees. What would that be in Celsius?
I'm gonna say that's gonna be about -8.
You're pretty good.
I think that's, is that right?
Something like that.
I've got that on my phone. Let me check and see if I'm anywhere
do you think,
near that.
In your mind.
Minus 11.
Do you think in Celsius and meters and liters and that?
Meters more so now, yeah.
Yeah.
And liters a little bit as well. But if you told me something was 16 ounces, I kind of have an idea of what that is. 8 ounces, I've kind of got an idea of what that is. But anything beyond that, I'm struggling.
I want to talk to you more about Australian radio. Jay Mueller joining us in studio, and we're going to take a look at the weather here in a moment in Fahrenheit.
Oh, thank you.
Because we still do that here. And we'll also continue with him. Again, if you missed it from earlier, he grew up in St. Louis, well, St. Charles, interned at KMOX, worked at a couple of different TV stations until he moved to Australia, where you are now a legend out there, apparently, from what I hear. We'll continue our conversation with Jay next on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Jay Mueller in studio with us this hour, and I love talking radio with radio people, radio legends from Australia.
I was going to say, did you find, is one coming in?
Are your facilities top-notch?
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
The radio stations are They're very, very flashy. The studio in Triple M Brisbane has just been redone, and it is world class.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What Australian word can't you say right? Is there ones bloke. You struggle?
Bloke.
Bloke?
B-L-O-K-E. Mm-hmm. Bloke. Just does not sound right coming out of my mouth.
Doesn't sound the same.
No. They'll say he's a good bloke.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't know what it is. I just can't do it. I will often get asked to just, you know, pronounce different things because they sound different. Banana.
They like your accent.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? I got you complimented me earlier on getting the time difference right. I actually got it wrong. I said 12:30. It's 3:30 in the afternoon in Melbourne.
3:30.
But there's
in
so
the
many
afternoon.
Different time zones in Melbourne. I was right for Perth. It's 12:30 in Perth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Banana.
Banana.
They make you say, hey,
asphalt.
Jay, say banana. Oh, yeah. Asphalt. Yeah, asphalt. That's a good one, too. Are there any words that don't translate from English? Like, it's like if you say, like, oh, something that would be commonly known here, like some people say pop, some people say soda, but if they didn't know the difference, it'd be like, what are you talking about? Is there any of those type of words?
There is. So, schedule is schedule.
Yeah.
Any words that don't, I'll give you one. Fair dinkum.
I've never heard that word.
Well, fair dinkum means that he is, to use another Australianism, he's true blue. He, you know, legit.
Oh, okay.
Fair dinkum, you're legit.
Fair dinkum. I like that.
Fair dinkum.
What made you want to write a book? I saw that you just put a radio book out. You co-authored.
Yeah. So Craig Bruce, who was longtime national content director for Southern Cross Austereo, which was the biggest radio company in Australia,
mm-hmm.
He approached me about 4 years ago to help him with a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one that I was really excited to do because it involved interviewing people in radio about their stories. And it's Game Changers Radio is the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Bruce is the host. And we interviewed as many sort of legends of Australian radio as we could get our hands on. And we had this whole series of interviews. Craig expanded it to the UK and interviewed great people out of the United Kingdom. Then he also interviewed a few people in the U.S., including Gene Bean Baxter, formerly of K-Rock, who's just left after 30 years of breakfast radio in L.A., Scott Shannon on WCBS in
Scott
New York,
Shannon,
and Broadway Bill Lee also in New York. So they're all part of Game Changers Radio. And we thought, you know what, we've got these 100 episodes. There's a lot of themes that are consistent throughout. So everybody got a first job. Everybody has had to deal with management. Everybody has had to, you know, most of them have gotten sacked at some point, fired, right? So we collected all these themes, wrote a book around the interviews, around these different themes, and put it out there.
I love it. Absolutely love it. The website, if people wanted to check it out, what's your website?
GameChangersRadio.com.
GameChangersRadio.com. What separates a top talent from a not top talent in Australia?
What a good question. I'll tell you, one of the people we interviewed for Game Changers was a man named Christian O'Connell, who was number one in London and left the number one radio job in London to move to Melbourne.
Mm.
And he just went number one after 18 months, which Melbourne is an incredibly competitive radio market.
Yeah, you said 5 million people in that radio
5
market?
5 million people in Melbourne. So Melbourne and Sydney are Australia's two largest cities.
Yeah,
Melbourne, I think in the next couple of years will overtake Sydney as the largest city. You got to remember, in Australia, there's only 24 million people in a geographic island.
That's heavily populated area. Some of those early ones, 5 million.
Yeah, everybody lives along the coast.
And I have to look real quick just to compare that. So like in St. Louis, radio market-wise, we're around 2.3 million. So it's not necessarily the people that live in St. Louis, but it's the
metropolitan area.
Yeah, metropolitan area that would be considered part of this, our local media market. So 5 million, you'd be like Houston in Washington, D.C. You'd be like right in there, and they're like in the top five, you know, five, six.
Yeah, right.
That's huge. These are huge markets.
They are huge markets, and they're still very, very competitive. So Christian came to Melbourne and has gone to number one. And so when I think about what makes great radio talent, they're willing to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie McGuire is another one who I was privileged to work with for a long time. He's kind of the Jerry Jones of Australia, right? I mean, he's the president of the largest sporting club in Australia, the Collingwood Football Club. And Eddie saw, you know, he sees things before other people see them. Mm-hmm. And he saw a trend in FM radio that involved a little bit more talk than just playing music all the time. And, you know, we created a show on Triple M in Melbourne called The Hot Breakfast that is still going, has been going for 10 years. But, you know, I was the original producer of that show and worked with Eddie on that. And so he's willing to take risks and they're willing to, you know, back themselves and believe in what they're going to do. And you know, a great Australian radio show, one of the great duos, Hamish and Andy, who now do TV all over Australia and still do a podcast, which is number one in Australia and, you know, has global downloads. You know, I mean, they're just a force of nature.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, those guys, they were just totally different. You know, they were new. And I think that to be great, you've got to, you know, you have to be willing to speak your mind.
Yeah.
And you've got to be willing to also share who you are. Mm-hmm. You've got to be, you know, to use that cliche, and it bores me every time I hear myself say it, but you've got to be authentic, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because radio is intimate, and people will know if you're BSing them.
Yeah, absolutely. They
will
do.
Know immediately. Oh, something magical happens between your lips and this microphone and their ears. People know if what you are saying is true.
So if we flip it, what are the things that are happening in radio today that drive you crazy?
I think that in Australian radio in particular, there's a lot of, they try to do a lot of brand-funded content.
Mm.
And so it's just, it, you know, it's not authentic. It's not, who's passionate about a particular brand? Mm-hmm. You know, and people, to their credit, do really well of working those into their shows.
Yeah.
And it's what pays the bills. So it's an unfortunate reality, I think, of where it's at. And the best shows do a great job of making it seem really natural.
Yeah.
And making it seem like it is actually just part of the show. It's just another aspect of the show.
It's weird. You find that with sports teams, people will put tattoos on their bodies of a sports team. But, you know, you hear about some of the branded content. There's some things I really love around St. Louis, but I don't think I'd ever get a tattoo on my body. But they'll play it off on the show that they would be doing something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many, like, emos. People love emos here. I love Lion's Choice. Was Lion's Choice around in the 90s?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I can't get enough of that stuff.
Yeah.
Lion's Choice, and there's some great restaurants on the Hill. I'm a big eater. I don't really have a difference between, like, my palate. I can't really tell the difference between, you know, something high-end and low-end. If it just tastes, there's so many great places if you don't care about that sort of thing.
So I love food as well, and yeah. I just said this is, you know, a little bit of a diversion from what drives me nuts in radio, but maybe that's one of the things that drives me nuts. Actually, I love the diversions. I love the tangents and the diversions and where
so
radio can go, right?
Oh, it's so easy to go sideways.
Yeah, and I love that. But so St. Charles, that's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, if you live east of the Missouri River, it's unlikely you're going to go back to St. Charles or, you know, make a trip over there. Mm-hmm. But if you do, you know, Lewis and Clark's on Main Street, get the White Chili.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Okay, right? I remember that.
Pio's Restaurant. Been there for a long time. Mm. It's just up the road from Main Street. Get the prime rib.
Oh, okay.
What a great place. Pio. So I worked there. Me and my brothers, we all worked there. Still there. Still going strong.
Did you go there on your trip back this time around?
I haven't been there yet. But I have been to Lewis and Clark. Took my mom and dad there to go get some white chili just the other day.
Mm. How many hours on a plane is it between here and Australia?
13 coming, 15 going.
Oh, okay.
Because you're going against the jet stream heading back.
Do you have flat earthers in Australia?
They're everywhere, aren't they?
Yes, they are everywhere. I don't know if the conspiracies hit as hard. It seems like there's a lot of that here in the United States.
Oh, man, there's a few. You know, the conspiracy theories are everywhere, right? I mean, people, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know what it is that leads you to the place where you go, you know, hey, these conspiracy theories actually sound a little bit like they might be true. They're not.
There's a few conspiracies that I think have an opportunity for being true. Bigfoot's one of them.
Okay.
I do think that has a pretty good opportunity. There is something we haven't discovered on this planet that's living. I have a true feeling, like, look at just anything under the water right now. There's so many things under the water we haven't discovered. There's a pretty good chance there's something above ground we haven't discovered either. So I'm going to give that. Flat Earth and stuff like that. I love doing those topics. There's some pretty passionate people that love those. And late night radio's the time to do it.
Yes.
What would be, so you're going to go back to Australia. Are you going to talk about anything that happened here in the United States? Or will anyone even have any questions about your time here in the United States?
Yeah, they'll want to know what it's like. They'll want to know what's happening in America. I mean, we are inundated with images from America and everything that's going on. And it is an interesting time here in the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the impeachment hearings start tomorrow, and those will be, you know, people will be paying attention to that in Australia.
I'm surprised.
You know, what happens with America affects Australia. We have very close ties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have very close ties to the United States. We have very close ties to Southeast Asia and to China as well. So we're right in the middle of a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to Australians what is happening here. And Australia wants America to be a great country and wants it to be a good place and is worried that right now it's not.
Are they polite in Australia?
To an extent. Very, in some ways, it can be very direct.
So they're not Canadian, but...
They're not Canadian, but not many are.
Yeah.
Right? Canada is a special place. But Australians are friendly. Australians, they're curious.
Yeah.
It's an island, right? And they're isolated. So they are curious about everything that's going on around the world. Great travelers. Mm-hmm. Australians love to get out. Love to go places.
What's the biggest spider you've seen?
A huntsman spider.
Show me with your hands how big that is.
So the huntsman spider that I saw was probably about that big.
Okay, so you can still do it. You got your index fingers and your thumbs connected, so it's not...
Yes. He's...
We're not like a...
Not like a dinner plate.
Yeah.
Right?
So, like a saucer. But yeah, but you are 6'6", so you do have big hands.
Yeah. The Melbourne Zoo does have a bird-eating spider there that is the size of a... Probably a 10-inch dinner plate.
Whoa.
It's huge.
Are there videos of the thing feeding on a bird somewhere?
Not that I've seen.
YouTube.
I'm sure it's there. But the huntsman spiders, you know, you just got to keep an eye on them. Put a little cup over them. Move them outside.
Oh, you're too polite.
Well, look, I've got rule. If the bedroom is my turf, mm-hmm. they're in the bedroom, they don't last.
Mistake, yeah.
They don't last. Anywhere else in the house or any place else that I run into them, they go about their business.
Jay Mueller will continue right after the break. Thank you so much for sticking around this hour.
Now, thank you for having me.
It's Overnight America on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Jay Mueller joining us for one more segment on Overnight America from Australia. You're here for a few more days.
A few more.
You have a notebook. What have you been writing down?
No, you know what? I haven't actually written down anything. I always I do pretend. No, but I like to just have a pen and paper just in case. If I do need to write something down, just helps me think through a few things sometimes, or if I want to remember something, or if there was something that, you know, I'll just write it down.
Show
I just
topics.
Wrote down the out time.
Oh, okay.
Just made a note of it.
I send myself notes on Twitter. That's the main way I send notes. So you just keep a notebook. That's more classy, actually. It's so much nicer.
The thing is, my handwriting is so poor, I don't know if I can actually reread it if I go back and revisit it.
So if you were to drop that somewhere and someone else were to pick it up and find it...
It's totally encrypted.
Totally encrypted. Military-grade encryption. So I wanted to just do a few more questions for you, but one more time, if people wanted to look you up online, what's your website?
So GameChangersRadio.com is our podcast. BadProducerProductions.com is our podcast company. My wife and I, Astrid, we've got a podcast company. We produce 7 podcasts.
Oh, that's awesome.
And one of our most successful is a cricket podcast
called
The Final Word. So if anybody is interested in cricket or understanding cricket, The Final Word Cricket Podcast is out there. And, you know, we've got a few that are some interesting topics.
With talent, the way you've seen differences in broadcasting, what was the biggest adjustment for you when, outside of trying to pronounce names correctly or words correctly, what was the biggest adjustment?
I think that getting into the Australian sense of humor, you know, it's unique as well. Also the fact that, you know, you can have conversation, like, I remember the Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard, coming to 3AW and just a regular guy.
Yeah.
No airs. You know, he just, you know, turned up. You know, I said, hello, Prime Minister. And he said, hi. And, you know, and we had a chat, right? And that's the type of thing that, you know, I remember Julia Gillard, who was Australia's first female Prime Minister. And she came into the radio station one day and insisted that everybody call her Julia. You know, and it was just extraordinary, and she was terrific, and, you know, I wish hung around a little bit longer than she did. But, you know, it's just a different way of relating to people, I think.
Yeah. There's some universal things, I'm sure.
Totally.
Transfer over the skill set of a broadcaster.
Yeah. And one of the things that happened to me once, I spent 7 years in Phoenix, so I was very used to a Hispanic accent.
Mm-hmm.
My Australian host was not. And so there was a major story in Buenos Aires, and I found this guy who was working at a hotel who could tell us all about it. And I talked to him, and I was really used to, you know, his English was fine. Everything was great. Go to put him to air. He couldn't understand the Australian accent, and our Australian host could not understand his Spanish
that
accent.
Sounds like a morning show bit.
And it was just not great.
One other question for you, and some people always wonder this. So when you flush the toilet, does the water spin in the opposite direction?
I wish that I could confirm that. We have these toilets now that come out. The water comes out of the back, meets at the middle and the front, and then pushes everything down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a weird way to do it.
It's a weird way. The other thing that we've got is the half flush.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So depending you can use on a full flush
or
a half
or two,
flush.
Yeah.
Whatever the moment requires.
It's pretty smart. Well, conserving the water there.
There you go.
I want to thank you for coming in this last hour. This was
thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Just talking radio, it's a fun thing. Radio in general, it's fun to meet other broadcasters and hear about the things that they're doing. It's kind of cool that you make it out here once a year. So next time you're in town, do you want to stop by?
I would love to.
Oh, that
thank
would be
you.
So cool.
If you ever need anything from Australia, give me a call.
Okay. 13-hour difference, you said?
Yeah.
So I'll remember that too. Now, maybe next time your mom will be excited enough to stay up and listen.
She might. Yeah, I'll have to show her how to listen to a podcast.
You run a podcast company. You do podcasts, and you still have to show her. So she doesn't listen to your cricket podcast?
No, she does not.
Wow. No interest.
She's missing out.
You FaceTime with her?
Yeah, we FaceTime or Skype.
It's a great way to do it,
phone.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like my parents in Detroit. We do that all the time because of the 5-year-old. Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Had such a great time talking to you here.
No, thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.